This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots with Amber and Sabrina on ABC Radio Perth and WA and the ABC Listen app.
Hey, good morning, welcome and hello. Do you know what makes really good radio?
What? Tell me.
Listening to two women eat sticky biscuits.
Well, thankfully, because we don't very often get treats brought in, do we?
No, and I haven't had brekkie.
No, I'm not saying it, you know, not pointing the finger at Ash, who never makes us a lovely cooked breakfast three course.
She said, pointing she's got the finger Tim at Tams. Carrie walked in with petit foie, which she claims are fat-free.
Yeah. And, well, I'm slimmer just from eating half one.
I was so hungry I shoved it in my mouth without a thought of the fact that it would glue my tongue to the roof of my mouth and be stuck in my teeth and that people might have to listen to those noises. But I think I've managed to swish
Wolf it
out.
Down. Wolf yeah, it, I was yes. the same. I was thinking perhaps I shouldn't have eaten half a biscuit in the one bite because you're just going to go...
She walked past and we literally just tore at her like
because we're hungry. Animals. We are hungry girls.
Oh, my goodness. The phones are busy.
Going off.
Hey, before we get to that, congratulations on your book launch last night.
Thank you very much.
Can you tell me about your book?
It is a response to loss of habitat, climate change, non-sustainable gardening practices that still go on, and the fact that people have forgotten how important nature is in their life. Yeah. So I want people to get really, really excited. But the problem is if you're not a gardener, you know, you go to a nursery or to a hardware store and you look at 593,000 things and you go, I don't even know where to start. So this book is for people that go, I don't even know where to start.
Excellent.
And it takes them step by step. And then they become master gardeners and they do their own grafting, their own propagation, create wondrous areas, understand wetlands, frogs, lizards, insects, birds.
The Bassendean sand shelf.
Bassendean sand, such a lush thing to roll in.
And one thing I enjoyed hearing very much, as most Australian gardening books you described, they start in New South Wales and then work their across and we get a tiny little mention at the end.
Yep.
We are such a different climate and
totally.
Soil to be gardening in here.
Yep.
Yours starts with WA. But so it is a book for all of Australia.
All of Australia.
However,
but I tell you what, WA features from the left going to the right.
And it's called How to Do It in the Garden. Perfect.
And it's how to do everything, which is why, you know, I'm in the nick. So if you want to garden naked, I'm showing you how to do it step by step. But as you mentioned this morning, I am covered by a modesty hedge.
Yeah, yes, a modesty hedge.
Yes,
you are.
Yes.
Yes. And now Ian is in the vines and has called in. Good morning, Ian in the vines.
Good morning, ladies, and congratulations, Sabrina. And I would love to have a book signing.
Ah, please. Well, we can organise that somehow, somewhere that other people organise. We can.
Jess, are you listening?
We can do that, can't we, Jess?
Yes.
She'll be running a mile.
Sab's sidekick / business partner / daughter.
Mm.
Yes.
Yes. So we'll get around to that. But meanwhile, we'll sort out your cherry tree.
Yes, the cherry tree. It came from the near death 3 months ago and all of a sudden it's just reaching for the sky.
Ooh.
It's got cherries on it.
Ooh.
Lots and lots of cherries. The only problem is I actually tied it up with some stockings about 4 months ago to keep it that ball shape.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now the stockings are frayed and the limbs are like hanging very like droop-wise. And I just want to find out, is it possible to actually tie them up again with stockings to keep the limbs from sort of like hanging down because they've got lots and lots of cherries. I've picked most of them now.
I cannot believe you've got cherries, Ian, and you live in the vines.
Well, there's a secret behind that. That don't need to be known. We do not divulge those things. It's
no.
Secret.
I suspect it's something to do with ice on the ground.
That's interesting. You're in some sort of a direction. You're heading there, so the formula will not be divulged.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so you can restocking it.
Lovely.
Yep, you can restock your stockings So as long as they're – so at this time of the year, there'll still be a little bit of give in the branches, Ian. So, so there's sap, meaning there's sap flow, and I would do it before the cherries reach full size.
Okay, and also, just quickly, when you do organise the meet and greet, please wear some clothes. I have children under the age of 18.
I fully understand. And when I was doing the photo shoot, I remembered that my son-in-law was coming around to drop the dog off, and so I had to put a sign out the front veranda saying, don't move past the front veranda, because I think he really, he, you know, he's very fond of me, but not that fond. Now take a note of Ian.
Thank you, ladies. Enjoy the day.
Okay. See you. Bye.
Ian, now apparently something's going on with my microphone. David says my voice is a little bit low. Maybe I need to. Is that better?
I think you need to stop stuffing your face with biscuit and chomping on the side where you turn your mic off and just go. You know, the great thing about those biscuits, you could go. And whatever's left would just come out. Probably all over the keyboard and the.
Tell me what you think this says about Sally. She's the oldest of six children, and you will know you were from a large family.
Yeah, yeah.
She used to feed her little brother. When he'd get a bag of mixed lollies, she'd feed a lolly to her little brother.
Yeah.
If he stuck his finger down his throat and made himself gag because the sound of used to make her laugh. It was for entertainment value. So then when the family went on to have children, the babies would be sat on the dining room table. We were not good people while everyone smoked. And my mother would feed them a teaspoon of powdered milk and the baby would go, "Pfah." When she was feeling particularly like she needed a big laugh, he knows.
Oh, what? To get given to the children?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Can I have some therapy, please? I feel like I need to promo.
But you know what? Kids didn't have toys in those days. You know,
they torture the children.
A hoop and a stick that they'd roll along the ground. So siblings, I tell you now, if you're the oldest sibling, you have the most fun because you've got all the rest to do stuff like that.
You survived torture. Jan, could you please save me from talking any more about my people. Hello, Jan.
Hello, Jan.
Oh, hello, Sabrina.
Hello.
I thought I'd speak to the expert about this because I've had varying reports on what to put on my geraniums. Something's eating them, and someone said white oil, and that doesn't seem to have done anything. Nah. And then someone else said pyrethrum.
Nah, they won't do much. So what it is, Jan, is there's a beautiful like a diamond lace-shaped moth. It's very small. But what it does is it bores into the bud. Nothing worse than your bud's been bored.
No, that's right.
Bores into the bud, lays an egg. The egg hatches into a tiny, weeny little caterpillar. The caterpillar eats the inside of the bud so you don't get any flowers. Sometimes it's laid on the underside of the leaf. So you have to use a bacteria spray specifically for caterpillars.
Bacteria spray.
The
big green shed.
You can get it from a green shed. You can get it from a blue shed. You can get it from any nursery. Most coloured sheds, it's available.
Okay, so that's it. Because the second one said pyrethra, and I said, no, I'm going to ring Sabrina and get the proper truth.
Champion,
there.
Jan. Champion. Thank you for your confidence. Thank you so much.
I'm so sorry, Jan. I just hung up on Jan. I'm really sorry, Jan. She was being so nice. I meant to press line two. Anyway, you don't need to know. John is now on the line. Hi, John.
Hello, John.
Hello.
John's in Sedona. Hello.
Hello, how are you girls?
We are fabulous, and you're in Sedona, the place of oysters.
Is it?
Oysters and King George Whiting.
What a combination. I could do with a bit of that now, a bit of oyster, a bit of King George Whiting.
To go with the bickies.
Go with me, bicky.
Be nice.
Very lucky I am here.
You are.
Sabrina, I'd like to see if you can help me. I've got a lifelong dream that I just completed, a trellis, and fill it up with grapes, and the grapes are hanging down. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
I've been impacted with a heap of pests. I think the slaters in my around the soil of my grapevines, and I've got my grapevines in big poly pipes. They're about 200 litres in poly pipes.
Yeah.
No bottom on them. But we look like a lot of slaters, I think, and another little beetle. I'm not quite sure, but I'm getting hundreds of them come through.
Okie dokie. Now, slaters are a bit of a problem. They're probably inside the poly pipe, like they're nesting in there.
Oh, okay.
That, maybe.
That is a very thick poly pipe.
Okay. Okay, so let's talk about how you can drop the population.
Yes,
slaters like Vegemite and water, and also avocados, where you take the seed out, you leave a little bit of flesh for them, not a lot because you should be eating the flesh. You turn them upside down and they burrow through the what's left of the avocado and usually knock them off. The other thing you can use is diatomaceous earth. So diatomaceous earth is a very, very, very fine clay. And under a microscope, it has like really sharp shards like glass.
Okay.
Now, because these insects have an exoskeleton, meaning an outside bit that's hard, the shards get under the exoskeleton and rip it to bits. Now, the problem with diatomaceous earth, you can't put it on flowers or where there's bees because it'll kill the bees as well.
Oh, I don't want to kill the bees. We've got a friend who's got hives down the back.
Yeah. So if you use diatomaceous earth on the ground, then that's effective. And you can trap slaters by using, you know, the corrugated cardboard. They crawl in there in the middle of the day because it's cool and dark, and then you just set fire to them. And for beetles, what you do is you get wadding, you wrap it around the base of your grapevine and your plants that the beetles, and they've got little barbs on their legs and they get stuck in it. And then you just undo it, the wadding, which is like doona covering, and then you can either whack it with a bat, tread on it with your boot, or feed it to your chooks.
What am I better feed it to, King George Moore?
This is an ABC podcast.
In the most isolated city in the world.
Dig a hole, shove it in and go, they're gone, they're dead.
I want to tell you a story about someone with some real dirt under their fingernails.
You have to actually get a reciprocating saw and cut them up. You can cut them in thirds or quarters.
Coming soon to the ABC Listen app. A new podcast series from the creative team behind Roots and Shoots.
So what you're telling me is you did it?
No, I've killed about 30 of them.
Welcome to Blood and Bone. A true crime / gardening podcast. I'm sorry, you were just going off on the murder.
I know, on the murder.
You were getting particularly bloodthirsty.
Well, it's all about dropping the population, isn't it? Like, I don't kill anything because I have killers in the garden, highly trained. So I have – do you know what I saw the other day?
No.
No, the other night, Amber, what? When I was home a long time ago, because I, you know, I like to traipse around the garden with a head torch on.
Yes.
I saw a gecko eating a scale on my fig tree. Fairly going –
very good gecko impersonation here. Very good, yes.
So I don't have to kill anything because I have a...
You have an ecosystem.
I have an ecosystem, a whole weaponry out there.
Yes. Now, I feel like I've been hanging up on people accidentally. Oh. Steve is not one of them, though. Good morning, Steve.
Hi, how are you, ladies?
Very well, Steve. Sensational.
Very well.
I'm glad we're talking about murder because I've got a nectarine tree in my garden.
Yeah.
It's It's been quite prolific, but we haven't had any fruit that we could eat for a couple of years because of the damn fruit fly.
Oh.
So I've had enough. It's got to come out.
Oh.
What do I replace it with? Something that I can still feed the family with.
Okay. So stone fruit has become a major problem, and now we have the kew fly and the Mediterranean fruit fly. So in all honesty, Steve, the only way you can protect from the fruit fly is you have to bag individually, or you put bags on the stems. But if you want something that you want to feed the family and the kids will love, I'd get a strawberry guava bush because they're delicious. You know the strawberry guava?
I kind of, but I'm not sure how big it is.
Oh, it's only a shrub. Gets to, or do you want something bigger?
Well, no, not particularly.
So it gets to around 2 metres.
Oh, that sounds good.
And it fruits for months, and they're little beautiful red-coloured, like they're sort of like a guava. They're not a true guava. But kids love them and they pick the fruit. It's really hard growing blueberries because they don't like a hot climate. You can't grow any of the raspberries because they don't like a hot climate. Many things don't like a hot climate. But the little strawberry guava and the flower is really pretty.
Oh, nice. And that'll handle my terribly leached out soil as well?
Yep, tough as old boots. Steve, tough as old boots.
Good luck with that, Steve. Jane in Albany has sent through a photograph of her sunshine special passion fruit. She's pruned it. She's never done it before. Her late husband used to do it.
Right.
So wondering if she's been too severe. She has another to prune, so would appreciate advice.
Well, Jane.
Heck of a pruning there, isn't it?
That's a mighty prune.
It's a bit of a job.
So I know you live in Albany, Jane, and the weather's not as severe as what it is up here in Perth, but that is what I would call a severe prune. Probably you don't need to go that hard. I reckon ease off on the secateurs for the next one, Jane. Just pull back a little bit. You've espaliered them beautifully. But,
gorgeous espalier.
Yeah, but it's like a little runway for mice now because there's not a lot of leaf left. The problem is it could get burnt in summer, but fear not. You've left 2 or 3 leaves. So.
However, there are support groups called Men Who Prune Too Much.
Yeah, maybe Jane could join
that. These are men
that.
Who have been in trouble from their wives for clipping back the bougainvillea too hard.
We should start a sort of a women's one as well.
Do the women prune too much?
Usually not, but Jane's fairly into it. She's done a beautiful job. So, Jane, I wouldn't prune that hard. So with passion fruit vines, you can, when they're fully grown, like when they're 3 or 4 years old, you can prune, you can get the cows in to eat them down to ground level, but not when they're young. So the next one you prune, Jane, only do half the amount of pruning that you've done on the one you've sent the picture of.
And if you are a man who has pruned too much, please let me know what you did it to, and how much trouble you were in. 0437 922 720. Phil George has called in. Phil, are you the bloke that does money for Nadia as well?
Yes, that is the same.
That Phil. Hello, yeah. Phil.
Do you know it's a red flag to have two Christian names?
Red flag. Answer to bites routinely.
Oh, well, that's a green flag. Phil, what ails your garden in North Beach?
So I have it's a viburnum. It's, I think it's like a fencing sort of a hedge type thing. And it was looking great up until about 6 weeks ago when I pruned it. Pruning. But since then, and I didn't go that hard, but since then the leaves have gone kind of white and motley and most of them have now dropped off. So I was looking kind of sticky.
Well, Phil, I have to say it's not a good sign, is it?
I did actually text a photo if you
can. Oh,
did you? What words did you put in the text? Because I can search them, they get buried.
It was from Phil. I think is what I said.
Phil. Now, Phil, so have you ever pruned them before?
Phil Viburnum. Ooh, shady there.
Yeah.
Oh, they're in the shade.
First time that I've pruned them.
Okay.
All right. Ah, you've got the worst spider mite ever. Well, not you personally. I'm sure you've got really good hygiene. Okay, so you need – so the best thing for that is either go and collect about 150 spiders and let them loose on there, but they're a bit hard to find. So you're going to have to use, at this time of the year, wettable sulfur.
Okay.
So see how they're all white.
Can
they're
you
all
describe
white and,
how they look?
Okay, so they're silvery, actually. Yeah. They're silvery. You can't see any green at all. So the spider mite, that's it's sucking. So what they do is they rasp. They go like this. They go rasp like that. And then they lap up all the sap. So they take all the chlorophyll. So, yeah, so sulfur is one of the best control methods for spider mite. And because we're getting hot, Phil, although they look like they're in the shade, you'll have to use wettable sulfur because lime sulfur may burn them.
Okay. So it'll be something that I put on the foliage, I guess.
Yeah, you spray it on the – and particularly the backs of the leaves if you can. Now, viburnum take really good punishment. So you can actually prune the hell out of them. So if you want them to shoot further down, Phil, you can you can actually prune them off even more than what you have. So if you want them to shoot from the base – So if you want them to shoot from the base, get a wetting agent, fertilizer, water the hell out of them. They'll shoot from right down the bottom. But get either, I think, I don't know what temperature is going to be. If it's below 30, you can use lime sulfur. If it's above, you'll have to use wettable sulfur.
Well, I was looking for an extra job today, so I'm straight on.
Ah, see, there, look, we're here to please, Phil.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in and thanks for being clever with money, if not plants.
Yes.
Rhonda has called in. Good morning, Rhonda.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, right. Good.
Now I've just put it down and can't find it.
Oh.
I'm actually the messenger because my husband doesn't like to speak on the radio.
Oh, okay, shy boy.
Yeah, he is a shy boy. I found it, the notes. Okay, the pomegranate tree.
Yes.
We bought it at about 5 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
And I have sent a photo through. It's now about 8 feet high. Looks very healthy. Gets full sun, but the flowers keep dropping, and we're just not getting any fruit.
Can be a so you're in W view. Do you water it a lot?
Yeah, he's out there all the time with a hose. You know these men.
It's either a hose or a bloody chainsaw, isn't it?
Yep, that's exactly right.
Okay, so pomegranates come from quite hot climates, and if you overwater them, they just go, oh, living in luxury here, luxury. So I don't need to do much, really. I'll just put on leaves, I'll grow a bit, won't bother with the fruit, too much energy goes into fruit. I'm being watered all the time, so I'll just drop the flowers because I don't really need to do anything. So take the hose off him, Rhonda.
I'd love to. I'd love to. He's always got it in his hand.
Ah, well.
It is a nice thing to do, isn't it, to stand out in the garden with a hose. Oh, my God, everyone else has just got the Benny Hill joke.
There is actually one in the lane that just gets the people never live there, and it looks great. It gets fruit, so
yep,
you're right.
That's exactly right. So tell him to put something else in his hand all the time, and just to stop watering. Like, you'll only need to water once a week.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Yeah, good luck with that. You go and tell him, Rhonda. Thank you for calling. Brian is in Singleton. Brian, can you just clean up this shoddy act for us, please? No.
I hope so. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Oh, Benny Hill.
Yeah, I know.
A very, very simple question.
Yep.
Is you go into shops or nurseries and you buy these containers that fit on the end of your hose, including your lovely one.
Yep.
And then you hose it on wherever, and then you've got an empty container.
Yeah.
Can I Can I fill that container up with worm juice and spray it on and feed them at the same time?
You definitely can.
The question is, should I dilute the worm juice or would the water do it?
No, I would definitely dilute. So I'd go 50-50, Brian.
So
fill up 50% worm wee, 50% water, and then connect it on the hose and hoorah up your eyes.
Oh, there you go. It's simple. And it's free.
It's free.
And it's free once you bought the first container.
That's exactly right, Brian. You're recycling. You're a sustainable young man.
Brian, thank you for getting us back on track. Moore River Dan has texted in and said, many years ago, a mate's mum was nagging his dad. I'd prefer to say that enthusiastically encouraging his dad for a while to trim her rose bushes. When she nagged him, encouraged him, after a day of wood chopping, he angrily took to them with his chainsaw. To everyone's surprise, she has been winning awards for her roses ever since.
So there you go. Sometimes there's a happy ending to things, isn't there?
Kate, good morning to you in Exmouth. Did you say Exmouth or Exmouth?
No, Exmouth.
Yeah.
Exmouth.
Yeah. Mouth. Not Exmouth.
Exmouth is in the UK, I think.
Ah, there we go.
Exmouth.
Yep. What ails your garden?
I have a question about my grass. Unfortunately, I'm going to continue the theme of killing things, hopefully. Yep. I ordered some what I thought was going to be Empire Zoysia.
Yeah.
From Geraldton.
Yeah.
And it's got a whole bunch of free cooch in amongst it. And I'm just wondering. I've got native garden beds like a metre or a metre and a half away. I sent you some pictures. I'm just wondering whether there's anything that I can kill the cooch without killing the zoysia, and whether you think the cooch will eventually make it across into my native beds.
Yep. Kate, give me a keyword that you put in your text, because there are 1,000 photos in there. What word did you put in your text?
I just sent 3 photos through. There's like some of grass and then one of a native paper bush.
3 photos all at the once.
Anyway, cooch, look, cooch will get into your neighbour's house that's 5 houses away. Now, unfortunately, the selective herbicides, because the zoysia is a true grass and so is cooch. So whatever you are going to use to knock off the cooch is going to knock off your zoysia as well.
Yeah.
Now, what you can do is you can get a paintbrush on a stick or a wick on a stick, and you can fill it with the only thing that works on cooch is glyphosate or Fusilade. So you can fill that. Yeah, that the cooch will get into you. Well, you've got a gravel path in between.
Yeah, and it's compacted.
Yeah, and you've got core 10 steel. No, you should be all right, but you don't want cooch in with your zoysia.
No, I just don't want it anywhere, really.
No, I agree.
Mainly, I just really don't want it in my native garden beds.
No. You've got enough gap with your edging and the pathway there. So all I can tell you to do, Kate, is you need a stick with a wick and just wipe it over the cooch and just keep on doing it.
Good luck with that, Kate. Yeah. Sharon?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Is in Floreat. Hi, Sharon.
Yes, hello, Amber and Sabrina.
Hello, Sharon.
I have 4 lily pilly shrubs in quite large pots, and a lot of the branches have started to wilt. And then the whole branch will just die. Oh. And I went out with my magnifying glass, and I can see some brown spots on the leaves, very tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And when the leaves are dead and completely brown and shriveled, I've had another look, and I can see some little tiny, tiny white spots on the leaves. So I'm just wondering if it's some sort of bug.
So you say they're in pots.
Yes.
How long have they been in the pots for, Sharon?
They've been in the pots for a few years, but I did repot them last year.
Oh, okay. Because sometimes what happens is the root mass takes up all the soil. So you've just got root, no soil. Now, it sounds to me like you've either got scale or a hard-bodied scale or a soft-bodied scale. So you can use a natural soap, a natural, it's potassium acid soap.
Yeah.
So I would spray all that. I worry about them wilting, though.
Yes, that's the first sign. Just one branch or the leaves will just wilt and look very faggy. And then a few days later, they're just completely brown.
Have a look to see if you can find any holes in the trunk or the stems. And I'm not saying it's polyphagous shot hole, but there's lots of different borers. And the only other thing is if ants have got into the potting mix and they're burrowed around the root system and it's not holding the water, I'd give them a really good dose of a wetting agent and then really, really, really soak them, like really soak them.
Yes, okay, I'll do that.
Good luck with that, Sharon.
All right, thank you very much.
Rod has texted in, I believe...
Here, Claire and Rod.
Is that Claire and Rod? Let me just see if it is Claire and Rod. Claire and Rod, did you text through photographs? It looks like a frangipani, is it?
Oh, pistachio tree. No, they're talking about pistachio. No, that's a magnolia.
Hello, is that Claire or Rod or both of you?
Yes, it is.
Both.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Did you text in the thing with the black spot on it?
No, that's a magnolia.
They did, it was the grey sleeve, yes.
I doubted you.
Oh, it's a magnolia.
Magnolia. Yes, so you, okay. Well, ask the question then.
so we tested one with the magnolia and then one, we're not too sure what the other one's called, but that's got a whole lot of bugs under the leaves. But, yeah, just wondering what the best treatment is for that magnolia.
Ooh. The one with the, God, that looks... So the second picture is a picture of a Pittosporum Miss Muffet. And I don't reckon anyone would sit on that tuffet.
I reckon it's we're looking bad. At a full munting here.
I think that's totally munted.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even bother with that. I'd honestly don't... Go and spend your time on going to a nursery and rip that out is what I'm saying. It's needs past the point of anything. But the good thing is the magnolia we can fix.
Magnolia we can fix. We can't fix that. So the other is that being eaten by anything or is it just like sick?
It's just
a whole little bugs under the leaves.
There we go.
It's buggered. Gone. Gonski. Out the door. It's got a myriad of things wrong with it, that Miss Muffet. Obviously, the tuffet wasn't to her liking.
No.
It's got so much wrong with it, truly, just pull it out. Okay. It's not particularly. It's not faring terribly well. It's not the most robust of plants that, you know, you'd walk outside and go, doesn't that look beautiful?
Give it to them gently,
Sam. We've got it everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh,
really? Or is it not just in the Miss Muffets?
We've got more of that.
Okay, so...
We've got the Miss Muffets everywhere around the garden, so... And
do they all look like that?
The same thing. Ooh. They're all coming down with that, yeah.
Okay, so I'll tell you what you've got. You've got a fungal disease. You've got soft-bodied scale, lots and lots of it. You've got hard-bodied scale. It's also got wilt... which is a virus, so there's bugger all you can do about that. It's probably got, I'd say it's got post-traumatic stress as well because it's got so much going on. It's like there's, every insect's just having a party. Honestly, put an end to their misery. Get rid of them.
Do you have the number of a good real estate agent?
Yeah, but he's got six legs.
Burn. Some aloe vera for that burn.
Oh, anyway, let's get back to your lovely magnolia, okay? So the magnolia has little black spots on the leaf, but that's actually not an insect issue. I'll bring it up so it's bigger. Okay, so you've got all – liriope around the base of all the magnolias, yes?
Yeah,
the green, that green strappy stuff. I want you to take some of that away from the base of the magnolias because it, the magnolias are not getting enough nutrient. So, okay, once you've ripped out all the Miss Muffets, go and buy this. Get three bags. How many magnolias have you got?
Six, I think.
Okay. I want you to get three bags of compost, three bags of cow poo. You writing this down?
Yep.
Wetting agent, liquid wetting agent, and some slow release fertilizer. And you're going to mix all that up in a wheelbarrow. You're going to pull out some of the liriope while you're pulling out the Miss Muffets. And you're going to put that around the base of every single magnolia. Then you're going to use the wetting agent that you bought. Water that in. Water, 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 water really well. Prune back because they're looking like limp. A little bit limp. So I want you to take tip prune them.
Yep.
And then I want you to ring back in 6 weeks' time and tell me what you've replaced the Miss Muffets with and how your magnolias are going. In actual fact, you know that soft-bodied scale is going to be in the don't replant straight away because you're going to have the scale, which is on the root system of the Miss Muffets, so don't put anything in there for 4 weeks.
Right.
I don't think anyone's ever received...
One of each, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. I think you deserve a medal for receiving a terminal diagnosis with such good humour. You too.
You're both gems, absolute gems. And if I were you, while you're there, I'd get a couple of nice bottles of wine, sit down tonight and just reminisce on the garden that you once had.
Whatever you're off to do, you two, I hope it's a lovely day for you. Thanks for calling in and sorry to be the conduit of bad news. Joanna... Yes. Joanna is in Duncraig. Hi, Joanna.
Hi, guys. I have a question about pistachio trees. So yep. I have two. I've got a boy and a girl.
Yep.
They're about, I'm eight, maybe 10 years old. Yep. Only about a metre and a half still. They haven't grown hugely. They don't get leaves until middle of December. And I'm wondering, is that normal? And then the other question is, so the boy has flowered over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, but I don't think the female ever has. So I'm wondering if they will actually ever do well here or whether we should rip them out and put almonds in instead.
So these are the nutting pistachios.
Yeah.
Do you know, I know there was a big pistachio farm out near Gingin and they didn't have much luck with them either.
Oh, okay.
It seems with pistachio trees that you need to have at least eight to get nuts off them, to get the fruit. I don't know if you've got room for eight. They're not a very big, they're a sort of a, they're really a munted looking thing. Like they're not attractive.
Yeah, well, these spend most of their life with sticks. They only have leaves for like 4 or 5 months of the year.
I'd put in some almond trees. And you know the great thing about almond trees is they feed the black cockatoos who are starving to death. Yeah.
Well, so that's what we planted the pistachios for. We have one almond already, but we were thinking we'd just pull the pistachios out and put more almonds in for those.
Yeah, I'd do that. Almonds or macadamia.
Yeah, got one of those too.
You're a legend, Joanne.
Looking after the birds.
I truly love almond trees. And back in the olden days.
So common and old fashioned.
Yeah, they used to have almond trees in every garden. Really tough.
Yeah, every garden had one.
Yep.
Are there dwarf self fertile almonds?
Yes. Available? Yes, they're called all in one. Well, it's not so dwarf, but it's not a very big tree. It gets to about 4 metres.
Okay, that's perfect.
Yep.
Good luck with that, Joanne. Thanks for calling in. Annie is in Mosman Park. Hi, Annie.
Hello, Amber, and hello, Sabrina.
Hello, Annie.
I spoke to you, I think, a couple of years ago about my glory vine with rust.
Oh, yes.
You said lime sulfate, which I did. And then it It was bad, bad, bad last year. Anyway, I cut it back and I was going to take the whole thing out. I was taking advice from your previous caller. Like, it was dead to me. Anyway, but I didn't end up digging it out and it grew incredibly vigorously. And then now it's covered in rust.
Again.
Oh, no.
Now, depending on the weather, you could have a crack at copper oxychloride. So, now the great thing about rust is that it's host specific, so that rust won't go to anything else. I would use copper oxychloride.
Is that on the leaf or in the soil?
On the leaf. You spray it. You have to spray it on the leaf. Yeah. And, of course, prevention's better than cure. But if it's really bad, I'd do it now. I think we're in for a mild week this week, Annie, so I'd get stuck into it this weekend.
Annie, good luck with that. I'll see you down the shops in front of the frozen peas. Now, Asha has some fire information for us. Hi, Asha.
Hi, I do. The bushfire warning for Nambong and southern parts of Durian Bay have been downgraded from watch and act to advice level, so the threat is reduced. The other warnings are still at a watch and act level, and if you want more information on that, you can check the Emergency WA website for details.
Thank you, Asha. We have a couple of lines, 1300 222 720. Mark is in Hammy Hill. Hi, Mark.
Good morning. I have a she oak tree. I have two actually in the front yard. They were from self-sown ones from another garden.
Yep.
And one of them is gone decidedly orange. It's not the flowering thing. It's I did send in a photo that says Mark she oak.
Yep, I've got it.
And, yeah. So I was just wondering what I'm... There's one that's a matter of a couple of metres away that looks is perfectly green and no problem. Yeah. So I was wondering about what I could do for that one.
Usually when you see the... So it's obviously defoliated itself, which is why you can see the orange on it, and you're in Hammy Hill. I reckon it's hit limestone.
That's what I was thinking. I was going to say that.
Yep. Because, you know, if you're sucking on limestone, as you would know, Amber, that it's not – sometimes if they hit rock, they don't like it. But if they hit really high alkalinity, they don't like that either. And that's what happens when you suck on limestone.
Is there a solution?
A solution for a she-oak.
Yeah.
You can dump a bit of sulfur, get some powdered sulfur and put that around. But that's kind of like putting a Band-Aid on a severed artery.
Right.
You're going to have a big packet of Band-Aids and repeat it every 3 to 4 weeks.
Because you're the angel of death today, aren't you?
No, I don't mean to be because I've been away and I want to bring joy to gardeners.
Try harder.
Can I ask another question then?
Yep, you can. Look, your Shio might actually, if you can get some compost with powdered sulfur on around the base of the she-oak and a wetting agent, Mark, it might be enough to encourage the roots to go deeper, get past the limestone and go, hurrah!
Okay.
What was your other question?
A red crimson seedless grape, which is looking very sad, like it's mottled and leaves are dying. Obviously, a fungal infection, I'd say.
Yep.
Can I cut that back and spray it?
Yep, I did the same with mine. I had grape leaf blister mite on the on the grapevine, not on my limbs. Anyway, I went, well, I don't want you up there because they're all on tip. So yesterday I just pruned them off.
Just cut it off. Spray it with lime sulfur.
Absolutely.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your help.
Thanks, Mark.
Elvie is in east. She's east of Busselton. Good morning, Elvie.
Hello, Elvie.
Good morning. Thanks so much for your show. I live in a windy paddock and I've spent a lot of money on mulch and trying to improve the sand and some soil. But the hill. Way, could you please help me with something maybe that doesn't blow away?
Gravel. Gravel's good.
I do love gravel, but I need some food for the vegetables.
Oh,
the
you want that? Okay. All right. You can get pea straws heavier than lupin and seems to hang about, or even better still, silage. Yep. If you can get that from a farmer, they have it in, mind you, the bales where you probably need a truck to fit a bale of silage.
Okay.
Silage is beautiful.
What's
stuff.
It made up of? Tell me about silage.
Because it's moist and they pack it up and they ferment it, and it smells like you're going to have the you're going into the best brewery in the world when you open it. But it's heavy because it's moist.
It's probably a very big bale, but I can go with it. Thank you so much.
Yep, my pleasure.
Oh, Elvie, good on you. She's got access to silage.
Silage used for the horses and cows and the sheep.
Isn't that all that wisdom about things that can be used that we can't actually get hold of? Mm. Old-fashioned methods that would have been a kind of byproduct, I suppose, that you could have, I guess if you do live in the country, you can go and get that
stuff.
Well,
they used to bury it. They used to put it in a big pit and then it ferments. That's what they did in the olden days. Now they wrap it. I think anything that's fermented is marvellous.
Oh, so they wrap it. That's when you see those round wrapped with green placky things. That's silage.
Mm. Well, not always, but sometimes. There's lots of things in the because when the harvesters come through now, they have the roly poly thing, whatever you call that, that comes out the sort of the thing the poo end of the harvester. Have you seen them? You should see Amber how they harvest. Sweet corn.
Tell me.
It's marvellous. So they have this big machine, big harvester, and it's got this funnel on it. So it goes through, it cuts the corn, the whole plant, down by about 60%, and then it shreds it and the funnel goes into a small hole and it just literally poos out the cobs. They just go thunk, 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 thunk. It's awesome to watch. Very clever.
People are clever, aren't they?
Oh, they make clever things.
Carol. I reckon Carol's probably clever. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. How are you?
Very fantastic. Well, Carol.
Sabrina, I've got curling leaves on my new leaves on my citrus trees.
Mm-hmm.
I sprayed it with eco oil to no avail.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also got lots of blowflies hanging around the trees, and I'm just wondering, what do I spray it with, please?
The blowflies I wouldn't worry about because the blowflies are there just sunning themselves. It's like they've gone to the spa. So when you put new plants in, the blowflies go, this is a lovely sunny spot, I'll just sit here for a bit. But they don't do anything harmful.
No, I'm not worried about the blowflies, just as curling leaves.
Okay.
They've got some disease.
No, no. What they have is they have a moth that comes out at night time that lays an egg inside the leaf. So you can spray with whatever you want, but it's to no avail because the leaf miner caterpillar is inside the leaf. So do you know what you do, Carol? You go out with your snippers and you snip those leaves off. Yep.
Okay.
And you break the life cycle.
All right then, lovely. You've got lots and lots of tiny
little moths. Yeah, it's the time of the year. The moths do reign, which is why I have a myriad of New Holland honey eaters and wattle birds, and they just go eat them all up.
I'm not lucky enough to have them, but never mind.
Well, you might do one day, Carol.
Thanks, Carol. Thank Sarah is in Churchlands. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Look, if we were any healthier, really, we'd be on a science show.
Oh, good. Now, what I'm ringing for, I'm sure you've probably been through this 1,000 times, but I have forgotten. I've got a, it's actually for my husband I'm ringing.
Yeah.
It's a passion fruit vine. He's not that fond of it. I really love passion fruit.
Yep.
So it's done pretty well and it's grown well. But last year it flowered profusely but didn't produce any fruit. Okay.
Could be lack
of... with that.
Well, it could be a lack of pollen. So don't rip it out. What I want you to do is the next time it flowers, I want you to send your husband out, who doesn't like the passion fruit, and I want him to to fiddle with the flower. Oh, you better supervise because he mightn't tell you the truth. I want you – so on the – I'm not saying that he's distrustful in any way, but he doesn't like the passion fruit. So he will be looking for anything at all to say – we'll cut that down now – the next flowers that open, on the flowers I have these little flat paddle things. On underneath those paddles, there should be pollen. If there is no pollen, you will not get fruit.
Right, okay.
So you can either then use it as a green screen, and that's its purpose, or you take it out and put a different passion fruit vine in.
Okay, but we also have a caterpillar on it at the moment that's having a bit, I think it's a caterpillar that's having a harvest.
Yeah.
So what can I do about that?
I wouldn't worry about that because passion fruit has so many leaves. It's either caterpillars or grasshoppers. Grasshoppers you can't do anything about. Caterpillars, if you just leave them, the birds will come and eat them.
Okay. All
right, or you use a bacteria spray or you hand-pick them and – get your husband to hand-pick them and squish them because he doesn't like the grape – doesn't like your passion fruit vine.
He doesn't like killing things either.
Oh,
so he
doesn't he?
Won't kill the vine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So there is a caterpillar-specific spray you can use.
Yeah. Okay. Look, that's been helpful. Thank you, Sabrina.
Okay. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah. Another Sarah, please help. Morning, Sab.
Sudden death.
Please help. My palmetto buffalo turf in Nedlands is suffering from fungus. We had this issue in the old turf. We removed it and the soil, brought in new soil, new buffalo. Now this bloody brown spot is back, has treated with Mancozeb.
Okay, so Sarah, you've got something fairly serious. I think you're going to have to go up a notch. Now, if you go onto a Facebook page called Lawn Porn, or you go onto a, because I can't give you a product name, there is a fungicide specifically for palmetto and soft leaf buffalo that is, you're bringing it up a notch. So it's a more of a systemic one. I think you need to do that. So if you go to a turf supplier, they will have the fungicide product that you need to get on top of that.
Fantastic. Sue is in the Brook of Donny. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning, Amber and Sabrina. How are you both?
Good, Sue.
Fabulous. What's going on there?
Well, anyway, but apart from that, garden-wise, we were lucky enough a few months ago to be given a cutting from an ombu tree.
Oh.
Yes. I thought you'd be interested.
Yes.
It's in a pot.
Yep.
And it's actually grown quite well. So
yep.
It's probably about a metre now.
Yep.
And it's got quite a lot of leaves on it. But we, you know, as the weather's changing, getting warmer and all that sort of thing, we're not sure how to probably maintain it properly.
Yeah.
You know, over the summer and then over the winter. I think they come from a dry climate.
They do, but it's dry with, well, they grow in, you know, they, even though they are from a dry climate, they actually grow in good soil. Now, I don't know how, where are you? You're in Donnybrook. Oh, yeah, Donnybrook. Now, the only thing is they're probably not going to like the winter, but if you can put a little canopy around it before this coming winter, are you going to have a crack at putting it in the ground?
No.
You're going to keep it in a pot? So they're sort of, they look a little bit like a bottle tree. So really good potting mix, half potting mix, no, three quarters potting mix, a quarter compost, slow release fertilizer, a mulch on top, and you will need to actually water it in a pot like three times a week at this time of the year and full sun, like full sun.
Oh, okay.
So good luck with that. And that's it for Roots and Shoots for another week. We will be you'll
gone
be back next
so
week,
quick.
Won't you?
My oath, I'm here forever now.
Oh, yay. We've got a couple of short shows coming up, but I will let you know about them. We'll be running Roots and Shoots earlier in the day so that we can still get the podcast up and you can still have your questions answered, not for some weeks yet. Sab will be back next week. I will be back next week. This business will be back. We love all of your calls and all of your texts, and I'm so sorry that we don't get to answer. Well, Sabrina gets to answer them. I get to pretend. I nod. I nod along encouragingly. It's 10 o'clock. Thanks for your company. Bye. Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Saturdays from 9 o'clock.
Head to abc.net.au/Perth.
Or listen on your radio to ABC Perth on DAB Plus or 720 AM.
You can text your questions in on 0437 922 720.
Call us in the studio on 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back midweek to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating.
And share the episode with all your friends.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.